Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever so far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually.
That's right, including Star Trek. Star Trek's the animated show that we can watch, rank, and review. Did we talk about how there's a new Star Trek animated series coming up?
I think in the first episode, but that was so long ago.
It was like a month and a half ago, MC.
Yeah.
It was so long ago. Well, hey, there's a new Star Trek animated series coming up. But in the meantime, did you see Short Treks? Have you been watching Short Treks?
No.
So Short Treks are these, like, I don't know, less than 15-minute long episodes that CBS has been doing between seasons of Star Trek Discovery. And they're like, completely random settings. Like, one of them takes place, like, 9,000 years in the future. And they're just little Star Trek stories. So one of them you've got to watch is called The Trouble with Edward. And it is about a Federation, a Starfleet scientist who is trying to figure out, it's a ship that's working on a famine. And they're trying to figure out a food supply to supply for this people that are going through famine. And all of the, there's a meeting and they're all trying to figure out, like, oh, we could try and make this plant grow super fast or something. And then one guy speaks up, and it's Ace John Benjamin, Archer himself, and Bob from Bob's Burgers. And he's like, what if we made tribbles reproduce faster? And they're like, no, why would we do that? And he's like, because then we could eat them. And they're like, no, we're not doing that. And so then he experiments himself, and he makes tribbles into the force of nature that they are. And
it's amazing.
It's so good.
Damn.
But anyway, that's not why I bring it up. I bring it up because they recently put out two animated Short Trek episodes that are super cute. And if I'd thought about it, I would have told you to watch them in advance, and then we could discuss them here in our animated show podcast that's talking about Star Trek right now. But since I didn't, we won't. But they're good, no. And you should watch them.
Okay, I'll go watch them, and maybe at some later point.
Don't put extra work on me. No, don't tell me that we're going to edit anything back in here.
No. I mean, we will discuss it. Not on the show, but...
Okay. Whew. You're kind of making me do extra work, MC. Come on.
No, you're not doing any extra work.
Yeah, it's hard enough to get... I'm literally having you record this episode so that I can record sitting from a couch. That's how much I can't do extra work right now. Yeah, that's all. I wanted to talk about Short Treks, but I forgot to tell you to watch them, so that didn't really work out much. So anyway, Star Trek The Animated Series, Season 1, Episode 3, One of Our Planets is Missing.
Yep. And essentially what happens is they rock up. We're supposed to have ads, aren't we?
Hey, yeah, these messages. Bye-bye!
Hello, my name's Bill. I'm here in the UK doing UK things, not being eaten by giant people.
And I'm Tyler in the US, also not being eaten by giant people. And we host The Coordinate, an Attack on Titan podcast, where we...
Hold on a second, Tyler. Hold on. There's some weird noises going on outside the door. Let me just go check it out quickly. It's Twitter Troy Titan. My leg. He's eating my leg.
Bill?
No. He's gone. He's eating my bloody leg, Tyler. Troy's eating my leg.
We're a monthly podcast where we read an arc of the manga a month, try to get Bill caught up. Bill, you want to tell them where they can find us?
What do you want?
Where can people listen to the podcast?
I don't have a clue. Oh, he's gonna eat me! He's gonna eat me! Why are there so many cats in here?
Can I get a new co-host?
And we're back.
Mm-hmm. So they rock up, MC.
Yep. And there's this giant cloud, gaseous part, material, I think they...
Yeah,
do they actually...
It's a space cloud.
Yeah.
It seems much more physically present than I would typically think of a space cloud being, but they call it a cloud. And it's on the very edge of the galaxy. They're like all the way, like as far out as they can get. And there's a planet out here that's the farthest inhabited Federation planet. And this cloud is close by it. And so they're a little bit worried. They're like, we got to check out what's going on with this cloud because it's getting real close to that planet. And it's approaching a different planet. And then all of a sudden the planet's gone. And they're like,
yeah, the thing ate the planet.
It ate the planet, MC. It's a planet-eating cloud. And they're like, well, that's not something we need to worry about too bad. Because, like, yeah, it's a planet-eating cloud, but it's drifting off that direction.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's totally fine.
And then it changes direction towards the planet.
Ba-ba-bum.
With the settlement on it. Oh, 8 million? No.
It's a lot of people. I don't remember how many people. It might be 8 million. That sounds right.
And then the Kirk is like, we got to intercept that cloud.
Yeah. So it's like, I know. Let's throw the Enterprise at it. Maybe that'll stop the cloud.
Yeah. Well, they also have weapons. So I thought he was probably thinking, let's shoot at it a little bit.
They don't actually shoot at it before they get eaten, do they?
I think it's not until they are inside they start firing lasers off.
Yeah. So they end up inside.
Yeah.
And then but they can still talk to the planet, and so they're like they're still communicating. They're like, do we tell the planet that like it's about to be eaten because it's going to be there in like 3 hours? It's not like they can evacuate a planet. And Kirk's like, listen. That planet, the governor, is a guy I used to know. He used to be in Starfleet, so we're going to call him up and let him know. He's not going to panic. He's going to handle this with aplomb. It's totally cool. And so he calls him up, and he's like, hey, your planet's about to be eaten. And the guy's like, well, shit, Jim. Come on. How about a hello first? And he's like, well, there's only one thing we can do. We're going to put 5,000 children into lifeboats and send them off into space and hope they're okay on their own while the rest of us all die because what else can we do?
Well, and at the same time, they're getting attacked on the inside of this cloud by these weird-looking things that are made out of antimatter that want to dissolve the ship.
Mm-hmm. And they say that the planet that got eaten already, they're, like, able to scan it still, and they're like, yeah, it's, like, its mass is already down, like, 13% or something like that. So they're like, it is actively eating that planet that it swallowed, and it's going to actively eat us if we don't have deflector shields up. And meanwhile, Scotty's like, hey... You cannot keep doing this, Captain. I'm not going to do my terrible Scotty impression. He's like, listen, you're like destroying our antimatter reserves by having our shields up this much. Like, this is not how it's supposed to work, Kirk. And
hey,
so they...
That's go weird. Ahead. Isn't this thing that they're flying through made of something of a similar nature?
Oh, snap. It is. MC, it's the antimatter cloud. And they're running out of antimatter reserves. If they could just get some of the antimatter cloud into the antimatter reserves and everything would be copacetic.
Well, maybe they'll discover that somewhere along the line, I guess. 3/4 of the way through the damn... They literally say, like, 5 things are made out of antimatter inside this damn cloud. And it's like, hey, we're running out of antimatter. And matter, they're surrounded by the stuff, but... Oh, no, no one thinks about that.
They're not great at science in this episode. Also, antimatter would be a great word for a drinking game of this episode. Just drink every time they say antimatter.
They're like, oh, this might be a living creature because of its essential responses. And they're like... Maybe we can find a way out on the other end, since this is the entrance hole.
So they're talking about getting pooped out, right? Because they're like, we've scanned the cloud and found out that there's a hole on one end that we came in, and that hole is closed. But hey, there's a hole on the other end too. So let's fly towards that hole.
Yep. poop. Yeah. And they run into more antimatter flailing things, and Bones compares it to like the small intestine. And there's like a whole bunch of explosions happening from the planet that got picked up, hitting these antimatter things.
Right. This is when they're finally like, hey, if we need antimatter, and that's antimatter out there, and we need antimatter in here, what if we took some of the antimatter from out there and put into the antimatter in here? And then they get their shields up again.
And then Kirk is like, oh, but if it touches anything, it's going to explode. And it's going to keep regenerating and all this other stuff. And it's like, oh, well, I can put it into this box. So
Scotty solves that problem immediately.
Yeah.
Like, so quickly.
It's the next second he has a solution. And they do it in, like, half an hour. This whole plan is done in, like, half an hour. Because there's an active countdown telling you, oh, yeah, the planet's only going to have another couple of hours left before it explodes.
3 hours. 3.5 hours at the start. I think that's when they start the countdown. But it works, so they've got their shields up. And Kirk is immediately like, Scotty, you may have just saved the Enterprise and given hope Mantilles. Because it sounded like Wedge Antilles.
That's correct.
I don't understand how he's given hope to Mantilles at this point. I don't understand why he's saying you gave hope. No, you've still got a planet-destroying cloud floating towards them, but whatever. And their whole plan is, like, we're going to give the creature indigestion, which is just like an episode of Next Gen where there's a baby space whale and it's trying to feed off of the energy of the Enterprise, and Geordi's like, we've got to sour the milk and then it'll let go. And so they're like, all right, we're traveling towards this thing's poop hole, so we're gonna give it indigestion so it poops us out real good. That's our plan.
I'm guessing that was the plan, but then they get to a point where they discover this thing has, like, it is a living organism, and maybe that this one section of electricity is where the brain might be. So rather than
it's not just that it's living that they decide at this point, it's that it's intelligent.
Yeah.
That's the switch. Because they know it's living, that's why they can make it poop. But when they realize it's intelligent, they realize, hey, maybe we don't have to make it poop.
Yeah, and maybe they fly towards the thing's brain.
Mm-hmm. And then they enact their great plan, which is we're going to talk to the space cloud and explain to it that we're alive.
No, the first thing is Kirk is like, get all the weapons ready. We're going to blow this thing's brain out. Like, that's his first plan. And then there's a whole bunch of, like, the moral or ethical ramifications.
Like, do you really want to kill a space cloud because it's intelligent and it's not its fault, it just needs to eat, it's just doing what comes naturally to it?
And then Kirk comes up with the great plan to have Spock mind meld with it, even though it's made out of antimatter and he can't touch it.
Right. So he's got to reach out with his mind. And you know how Spock reaches out with his mind? By reaching out with his hands. So for the rest of the episode, so much of this episode is this one shot of Spock sitting in the captain's chair with his hands out.
It's not the captain's chair.
I'm pretty sure he's in the captain's chair.
No, because if you look, it's more egg-shaped. Whereas the captain's chair is like the square blocky one that they had on...
Perhaps you are right. In any case, he's just sitting there with his arms out. And all I could think of was, I would love if this wasn't an animated series episode, because I would love if we had to see Leonard Nimoy in live action just sitting there. For like, what did you do today filming on set of Star Trek, the original series, Leonard Nimoy? What was your job like today? He's like, well, I sat in a chair and held my arms up for hours. For hours, I just sat there holding my arms up, saying my lines, just sitting there with my arms out. Imagine how tired he would be. They'd have to like put some like little like support things. They'd have to give him a girdle that had arms that stuck up into his armpits and supported the edge of his arms. So that,
yeah,
just hold your arm.
Just the burn.
MC, put your arm out right now.
No, no. I've done it with like a notepad. So
we're gonna really connect with Mr. Spock here. So for the next few minutes, we're gonna just keep our arms held up at about shoulder level while we record our podcast and see how tired our arms get.
I really can't do this. I hurt my shoulder sleeping the other night.
Fine.
Because I'm old. I can do one
you
arm.
You hurt your shoulder sleeping.
Yeah.
I just processed that that's what you said.
Yeah.
So anyway, Spock gets in touch with the alien life form, who, guess what? It's voiced by Majel Barrett, because it's Star Trek, the animated series, so everything is voiced by either Majel Barrett or Scotty Doohan. No, Jimmy Doohan, who plays Scotty. His name is not Scotty, his name is Jimmy. Here's the problem with the cloud being voiced by Majel Barrett. Here's my impression of the way that the computer on the Enterprise talks. This is the computer on the Enterprise. And this is my impression of how the space cloud talks. This is the space cloud in Star Trek. And so it's the same.
Pretty much.
I was very confused watching this. The first time I watched it, I wasn't paying super close attention. I thought he was talking to the computer. Because, listen, Majel Barrett's great and everything, but it's the same voice.
Yeah, it is the same voice. And there's this whole thing with the planet and the evacuation that happens in there as before all like the space cloud communications where they're just in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a whole bunch of the information we've already given, like 5,000 children off on lifeboats, all that sort of stuff happens right here in the middle of them coming up with, from blowing up the brain to getting in touch with this creature to try and convince it we're intelligent beings, essentially. That's their plan.
They cut back several times to just check in with the planet and make sure that you really understand like how messed up this whole thing is. Like, so many people are going to die.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we really need to make sure it's personal. And so one of the times they're talking to the governor dude, Kirk is like, where's, I don't know, Kathleen or something.
Kimmy.
I can't remember what the name is. Kimmy?
Might have been Kimmy.
Anyway, they ask where he's like, where is she? And the governor guy's like, she's here with me. And then the call ends and they're like, who was that you asked about? And he's like, his daughter. She's 11. And you're like, oh, snap. You're going to kill an 11-year-old girl. What the heck, Star Trek? I mean, I know you're going to kill like 5 billion people or whatever, but one of them's an 11-year-old girl and you gave her a name and you made it personal. Oh, man.
Oh, but yeah, man. Leonard Nimoy, they just like cut half his lines in this because they just have him sitting there for half the episode with his arms stretched out, and then they have him re-record like and they put reverb over it. It's really weird.
Yeah, and he's like, we are people, and the cloud's like, what are people? And he's like, we're super small. Like
beings.
Real small. And she's like a planet. And he's like, no, we're much smaller than a planet. And she's like a moon. And he's like, no, even smaller than a moon. And she's like an asteroid. And he's like, nope, keep going. Then she's like, oh, you're like microorganisms to me. Why should I care? And he's like, because we're alive and we're super cool. And we've got dogs and theme parks. And she's like, what are dogs and theme parks? And so then Kirk is like, hey, quick, cue up our like B-roll footage of Planet Earth, dogs, and theme parks, and show it to Spock.
And then Spock, he actually tells this cloud creature to change minds with it.
Mm-hmm.
With him.
So then,
yeah.
Now Spock is no longer Spock. Now he is the cloud creature.
Yeah.
The cloud creature is Spock.
And that's how they show the cloud all these wonderful images of Earth and people and living beings. Essentially, the first thing that he tries to do is get it to scan the planet, and it's like insignificant beings or whatever. And then when they go through all the showing the planet, the planet killing cloud, we're intelligent feeling things. It's just like, okay, yeah, I won't eat you now.
Yep. He's like, listen, I understand that you want to eat something, but this whole galaxy is just full of us. So if you could leave, that'd be super cool.
And go back to origin.
My bad.
Yeah. Go back to origin. That.
Mm-hmm. And then Spock trades brains back with it. And Kirk's like, what'd you see, Spock? And he's like, everything. I've seen everything.
I don't think that was the line, but close enough.
Yeah, he's like, I've seen all the... Let me go. Fine. Fine, MC. You want to be accurate and everything? Let me pull up the quote from the thing where it's... What does he say? Blah, 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 blah. The wonders... He says, Spock.
Yeah, the wonders. Perceive?
The wonders of the universe, Captain. Incredible. Completely incredible.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Listen. This episode was inspired... The guy who wrote this episode directed an episode of the original series called Doomsday Machine, which is about a large thing in space that consumes planets. So he was...
Rehashing old ideas.
And then wrote this one. And then later on in Voyager, there's an episode where they fly into a nebula that's really a giant...
I remember
space creature
that eats
things. It's called Bliss. Becky and I just watched that episode a couple weeks ago. It's called Bliss. The only twist on that one is it's like it's a telepathic space cloud, so it tricks you into wanting to fly into its tummy. So this is an idea that Star Trek likes. And I actually, listen, I think this is not a bad example of it. And specifically what I like about this example of it is being animated, I think the way that they show like how big the cloud is looks really cool. Like all the shots of the Enterprise flying through the intestines of this thing, I think they work pretty well. I think it's pretty good.
I mean, the only one that is like kind of like not a great example is right at the beginning when the Enterprise is getting sucked into the cloud, because it's weird angles and all close up on the Enterprise, and you don't really get to see how massive the cloud is unless it's near one of the planets, because then you see, oh, it's even bigger than a planet.
It's a big cloud. It's a big old cloud. What'd you think of this episode overall?
Overall, I don't think it was as good as the second one, to be honest. Even with the bad child acting, I can't really remember the first one at the moment.
The first one was the one where they went to the very edge of the galaxy, and they discovered a incredible force at the very edge of the galaxy that threatened to destroy the Enterprise and also to continue moving through the galaxy, destroying a lot of life. Which is why I joked about it being the same episode as this one. But that one was, they found like an old ship that had a computer virus in it.
Oh,
and the
right.
Virus got
on
the Enterprise.
Malicious. Yeah. Okay.
I liked it. But yeah, it just... It did feel too familiar to me. I wish that we got something a little bit different for the third episode of this series. But it wasn't bad. And I do think that specifically the animation for a lot of it was really good. Like I said, the stuff with the ship was good. There were a couple like tracking shots where it was like the first shot of the episode inside of the bridge like panned across the whole bridge, and I thought it looked really good. So,
I think
overall it was pretty good, but it definitely, you know,
and
had
we got
opportunities
the...
still.
But there's that alien who's on the bridge all the time.
Erex.
Yeah, Erex. We finally get to hear him talk.
Mm-hmm.
So,
this is his first episode of Speaking Lines.
Yeah.
MC, I was trying to think of, in my sleep last night, this is true fact, true story. I was trying to think of alternate lyrics for the Blues Clues Mail song so that we could make our own version of it. Or it's going to be like, don't you fear the mail is near, something, something, something. That was as far as I got, was don't you fear the mail is near.
Okay.
And then the end of it would be, the mail is here. But that's as far as I got with it. So do with that what you will. It's time for us to read some comments we got about Star Trek. Someday I'll just make a song. We'll do it.
Yeah.
You want to read one of them?
Sure.
Because I've just lost them on my side.
Oh, you've lost them on your side? Okay. Well. Lanitas, 39, female, loves Star Trek the Animated Series. That they wrote, there's nothing more wholesome than spending a Saturday morning on the sofa with a nice long breakfast and watching a TV show with your partner. With my boyfriend at the time, we took turns introducing each other to some of our childhood favorite shows or pick shows that had been wanting to check out. I'd never seen the animated series, so I ordered the DVD set and was not disappointed. It reminded me of some shows I grew up with in the 80s, such as Captain Future and Scooby-Doo. I also liked that they could and did completely lean into the funky aliens and concepts that were maybe a little too wild for the live-action TV show. Some episodes are a fever dream, but at the same time, to me, the show holds up as part of the original series, and I've always treated it as canon. And they give us permission to quote all of it.
That's a good thing.
And I did, yeah.
Okay, couple things I gotta break down in here. Watching TV on a Saturday morning sounds great. I gotta tell you, MC, we have 9 episodes left of Voyager at time of recording, my wife and I. I really want to watch Picard. Picard is out. Episode 1's out. I haven't watched it yet because we still need to finish Voyager. But tomorrow morning, that's what we're doing, is we're binging Voyager.
Guess what I watched this morning?
Picard.
Yeah, for the second time.
Don't you say a darn thing.
I watched it twice. I watched it last night, and then I watched it again this morning. As well as some stuff on Disney Plus, which I got so we could for our next episodes.
Yeah, don't spoil what it is.
Yeah.
Because we already know. Because time.
So, yeah. I completely agree that with a lot of the observations, like, especially with the funky aliens and stuff, and, like, just leaning into how trippy some of these adventures can be, and...
Yeah, the one that always jumps back to my mind is there's an episode of Star Trek The Animated Series where the crew meets the devil. Like, they end up in some parallel universe and meet the creature that is like, he's like, no, I'm Satan. Hi. Hello. Hey, kids, it's Satan. And they have to work with him because working with Satan is better than their other options, which is like a wild thing to put in a kids' TV show. So yeah, they go in some weird places with the animated series. So the other thing I wanted to call out here is that she mentions Scooby-Doo and Captain Future. Do you know anything about Captain Future?
I have no idea about Captain Future. I do know about Scooby-Doo. I think everyone knows about Scooby-Doo, but...
Captain Future is, as near as I can tell, it is an anime based on a 1940s pulp story. And, I mean, it's called Captain Future. It's got to be awesome, right? No, it looks pretty bad, but in a way where I'm like, I really want to check this out. So we might have to put Captain Future on the list because...
Oh.
I mean, like, okay, I'm like, all right, it's a pulp book. That makes sense. But then it's like, wait, but they made an anime about it? So it's like taking like the most Western of things, which is like, you know, a nickel paperback sci-fi storybook. And making an anime out of it? Why would you do that? I want to go there. It was apparently...
Sounds interesting. Yeah.
An anime from 1978 to 1979. Cool. We'll have to check that out. The other comment we got was from another Reddit user, who I'm not going to try and pronounce their name because their name is HKFDAC. I can't say those words. But they said the Pink Tribbles were my favorite. But I really like TAS overall as a whole. The only downside is the McCoy-Spock-Kirk chemistry isn't there, and you can tell the voice acting for McCoy sounds distant. Bad quality on his recording, maybe? And yeah, I think that's one of the things that... it's a double-edged sword to use actors who are typically used to live-action acting for voice acting because they don't necessarily have the ability to convey the same emotion when they're standing in the recording booth that they do otherwise. So I think that's a fair criticism of the show and a potentially weak point. The Tribbles, though, I forgot that there's a Tribble episodes of the animated series. Like,
yeah.
And it's about a Tribble hunter, I believe. Like, I think they give... Hang on. The child's being upset. He says, stop talking about Tribbles. They're an ecological menace. Well,
if he keeps this up, we're going to need a new intro.
We'll need a new intro? What, with, yeah. With, you're listening Introducing to the best animated shows with Troy, MC, and Atticus?
Yeah.
He provides commentary in the form of grunts and poops. I think what it is that they're like, these Tribbles, they're a menace because they're reproducing so much. So they like, genetically alter them to stop them from reproducing. But then instead what happens is they just grow. And so I think, if I remember correctly, you get big Tribbles on the animated series. Instead of lots of Tribbles, I think there's, like, one mega Tribble that happens.
Oh, yeah, cool. Just, like, a big, one big massive one that's, like, it's, like, it's not like it's like a small hill almost coming at you.
How does a Tribble come at you? Do they roll?
They never really seem to roll, but they did kind of like vibrate a little bit.
It's like when your phone vibrates itself off the table.
Yeah.
They just shake their way down the hall.
they just shake slowly towards things.
Speaking of Tribbles, have you watched the Short Treks episode about Tribbles?
I watched all of the ones that were on the Discovery thing, but
the Trouble with Edward, with H. John Benjamin, famed voice actor of Bob from Bob's Burgers and Archer from Archer.
No, I don't remember that at all.
MC, when we finish up here today, you need to go watch The Trouble with Edward. Because it's very good.
Well, I'll have to relook in the Discovery one. If it's not there, I'll have a look for Short Treks again on the Netflix.
It's gotta be somewhere. We'll find it for you.
Yeah.
But for now, we need to go check in with our past selves on ranking this episode and figuring out what we're gonna watch next. Spoilers, we already know what we're gonna watch next. It's on Disney+. That's a little bit of a hint.
I mean, it's like Disney, so not really.
There's so few shows on Disney Plus, MC. They can probably guess what show it's gonna be. Because there's only like six cartoons on that service.
No, there's not. There's way more than that.
there's probably six ridiculous cartoons under the heading of the name of the one that we're actually doing.
Yeah. No. I almost started watching the wrong episodes, and I was like, wait, that's the 2007-8? I'm like,
ooh, more spoilers! Spoilers! Alright, let's go.
MC, any last thoughts on Star Trek, the animated series, before we get to the time of the thing where we do the part?
It's cheesy, but good.
It is cheesy, but good. Star Trek, the animated series, it is cheesy, but good. I think we can all get down with that. And with that, MC, it's time for us to put it on the big list.
Oh,
and
no.
Then the trumpets come in. Right, MC, you ready for me to read the list?
Well, I would actually like to get to the list myself as well, and... why don't we have that saved somewhere nice?
If you go to our Twitter page, there's a link that'll take you to it.
Ah, thank you. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, MC. So the list as it stands is the best animated show ever so far is Batman the Animated Series, followed by My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball, Gargoyles, X-Men, Attack on Titan, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Castlevania, Pokemon, Restaurant to Another World, Food Wars, Mob Psycho 100, Miraculous, Dungeons & Dragons, SpongeBob SquarePants, Biker Mice from Mars, and the worst animated show ever so far is Legend of Zelda.
And hopefully forever.
Probably forever. When we went on our hiatus because of, you know, the child, Tyler offered to fill in. He was like, listen, MC and I can, like, get on call, and we can record some episodes of the best animated shows ever so far to put out while you're on break. And I was like, hey, that's a great idea. That'd be super cool of you to do. And he's like, yeah, but only if we only watch Caillou. That's the only way that I'll do that. And I was like, Tyler, you go burn in hell, Tyler. I will not have that trash on my podcast. And so he's burning in hell now. So sorry about that, everyone. I'm sorry that I sent Tyler to the pits of hell. So, but if he had done that, then Caillou would be at the bottom of the list, I'm sure.
Did you get Genesis?
Genesis.
No. Huh? That's a Preacher joke.
A Preacher joke? I've seen exactly one episode of Preacher. MC, so this is complete aside. This show originally, the origins of the best animated show ever so far actually were a podcast that I was recording with my wife that we recorded like 4 or 5 episodes of. That was going to be called Are You Still Watching? And it was going to be, we just watched the pilot episode of TV shows. And then she and I recorded a couple episodes of that. And then you and I talked about doing a Gargoyles episode or a Gargoyles podcast. And then those two ideas merged together to become this show. But Preacher was one of the shows we watched for Are You Still Watching? And my wife made it like 15 minutes into the first episode of Preacher and was like, I'm not watching this. I hate this so much. And so like, that episode of our podcast was just me trying to explain to her what the hell happened in the first episode of Preacher, because she totally checked out on it. And then I've never gone to watch more of it. Anyway, do you have a thought on where Star Trek goes on the big list?
I reckon around 11 or 12.
11 or 12? So that's the Food Wars Mob Psycho region of the list. That puts it above Miraculous and D&D and SpongeBob. Below Pokemon and Restaurant to Another World. Let's see. I mean, I like it because it's Star Trek. Okay, so Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah, it's definitely better than Dungeons & Dragons.
So you reckon above Dungeons & Dragons, below SpongeBob? No, wait.
Miraculous would be
yeah,
next.
Yeah.
Is it better than Miraculous? That's actually...
I don't know.
Interesting, because I feel like they kind of have the same sort of, like... They feel like popcorn consumable to me. Like,
yeah.
It's easy to just put an episode on and kind of let it play. And next above that would be Mob Psycho 100 and Food Wars, which gets into more...
No,
intense viewing.
So you reckon 13?
Well, I think at least 13, and I don't think more than 10, because I don't think I like it more than Restaurant to Another World.
No, I definitely don't.
All I've really come to, MC, is that I reckon 11 or 12, which is what you said at the start of this.
Yeah. Let's actually put it at 13.
Okay.
That way, well, it's definitely better than Dungeons & Dragons. I can say that for sure. But I'm not sure about Miraculous, so...
We'll kind of pair it with that.
Yeah, the other thing is it's been a while since we watched that show. It was...
That's true.
Giving this show the benefit of the doubt, because we've watched it more recently, is what I'm doing right now.
All right. I think that's fair. So Star Trek The Animated Series goes in at number 13, above Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, and below Mob Psycho 100. I think that's fair. And now, MC, it's time to choose a new show. Bum-bum-bum-bum. So let's see. This will be for Series 19... of the best animated shows ever. We got to pick some shows to put on here. Let's do non-superhero shows again, and then we'll do superhero shows next time. And we'll have a guest on for superhero shows next time.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I'm going to pull up our list of suggestions. Let's see. What do we have on last time? Last time we had Digimon, Gravity Falls, and Scooby-Doo. I'm going to grab this time... Let's see. I'm thinking... Gummy Bears, submitted by Mute Banshee. Gummy Bears!
Damn.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere. Now, my phone has auto-corrected that to Hummus Bears.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is what I'm leaving it as.
I'm gonna go Fairly Odd Parents.
Okay.
Submitted by Tyler.
Fairly Odd Parents. Submitted by Tyler. I'm going to put on for mine DuckTales. Woo-woo. The original one. Because I think we need to watch the original one before the new one.
Okay. How about Rocco's Modern Life?
Rocco's Modern Life.
For me.
There's a new one of those.
Oh!
They did a Netflix special.
See? I didn't even know that.
Way to be topical without even meaning to. All right, MC, so we're going to roll between the Gummy Hummus Bears, the Fairly Odd Parents, DuckTales, and Rocco's Modern Life. MC's got his die. He's rolling it.
DuckTales.
Woo! Every day we're out there making DuckTales. Woo!
Which means I have to get my Disney Plus.
There's a stranger out to find you.
I was supposed to do that this week.
Listen, DuckTales is potentially going to give X-Men the Animated Series a run for its money for the best animated show theme song ever so far.
Okay.
I don't have any idea what the first few episodes of DuckTales are. You know, DuckTales is one of those shows I watched a lot as a kid, but I couldn't tell you what the first episode is, but I'll go look it up. DuckTales episodes. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Not the new one, the original one. Following is an episode list for Disney animated television series DuckTales, a series based on the Scrooge McDuck character and the Uncle Scrooge comic books created by Carl Banks. Episodes. Series 1. No, not, wait, what? Season 1. 1987, episode 1 is called Don't Give Up the Ship. Episode 2 is Wrong Way in Wrong Way. And episode 3 is Three Ducks of the Condor. All right. I don't know anything about any of those episodes, but I'm excited to find out. So we'll find out together next time on the best animated shows ever so far. This is not how we end our episodes. When we watch DuckTales, season 1, episode 1, Don't Give Up the Ship, now we just sit here and tell, what are we going to say that's funny? Did you know that David Tennant plays Scrooge McDuck in the new DuckTales?
No, I didn't. That sounds awesome. Like, I love everything that he's done since Doctor Who.
Not in the one we're going to watch, but in the new DuckTales, he plays Scrooge McDuck. And it's great because he gets to do because he's Scottish. That's his accent. And he gets to do it as Scrooge. And it's good. I watched the first couple episodes of that the other day, or not even the first couple. I watched part of the first episode. I was just like randomly putting on things from Disney Plus, and I was like, "Oh, this is the one with David Tennant in it. Look at him being all Scrooge McDuckie. Look at him."
Yeah, I still need to get my Disney Plus.
Well, now's the time. Is it available in Australia?
Yeah, it is. It's been available since about a week after it was available there.
MC, does that mean you haven't watched The Mandalorian yet?
Yeah, I haven't. I've been waiting.
MC, go watch The Mandalorian. I know it's Sunday evening, but just start episode 1 and then watch episodes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and you'll be fine.
I need to sleep.
It's fine.
I got work in the morning.
MC, I forbid you from watching The Mandalorian tonight. This isn't a reverse psychology thing.
No, I can't.
Now it sounds like I am. It sounds like I'm trying to trick you into watching it. Don't watch it.
No, not tonight.
Sincerely, because the first 3 episodes are really like one story. And so if you watch the first episode, you're immediately going to want to go watch episodes 2 and 3. So Save it for when you've got about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and then watch all three of those together.
Yeah. Don't watch it tonight. That'll be next weekend. I'll get my Disney Plus next weekend. I'll watch everything I need to and binge watch The Mandalorian.
There you go. We're supposed to just fade out, and I keep just trying to talk and see. I keep trying to get us to an ending point, but then
it's a baby brain. I'm telling you, you got baby brain. Yeah. You're too tired.
Well, it is. What time is it now? It is 1:05 in the morning.
That's the time I'm normally recording.
I know. I've turned into you, except for I'm drinking energy drinks instead of beer. I'm gonna go watch some Doctor Who. Is what I'm gonna do. So. Bye.
I've discovered Highlander, so I'll watch some of that.
The Highlander series?
Yeah, the terrible one with Duncan MacLeod.
You know, I watched about 20 minutes of the first Highlander movie, and that is all I've seen of Highlander. That is definitely one of the like gaps in my pop culture knowledge. So I don't know what of Highlander. Don't know anything about it. What I can tell you is that on Pluto TV right now, they're showing a fourth Doctor episode of Doctor Who. So I'm probably going to watch that for a while, because Pluto TV has become my best friend, because they're just like, hey, Troy, do you want to watch some old Doctor Who right now? And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Anyway, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Let's see if he'll let me sit him up, or let me sit up a little more. Oof. Dude, having a kid is messing with my spine so much, because I end up like slouching all the time as I'm holding him. Because you get into a good spot on the couch holding the baby and then just kind of sink down into it. My posture has just gone to hell.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's BaseSFCast. The email's at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to Facebook.com/BaseSFCast, and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says Join Group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFCast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes. But on YouTube, I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFCast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean.
I mean.